we started the sugi yesterday of gram ritzicha, when a person kills indirectly. So the Gemara gave several examples of a person who kills and is not going to be chayiv for killing, and other examples where you kill and you are chayiv for killing. Amongst those examples where you kill and are not chayiv for killing because it's considered to be too indirect, it's not considered to be a direct act of killing, are an example that the Gemara gave was where you tie somebody down and the sun is not out yet, but the sun is going to come out and he can't move, and then the sun comes out and scorches him to the point that he dies of from the heat. Or if you tie somebody down and it's not yet cold, and then it gets freezing cold and he dies of frostbite or whatever, from the cold. So that is only gram ritzicha. But what is direct ritzicha that you are chayiv for? Let's say the sun's already out and you tie him down. Now, tying a person down should not kill a person, but tying a person down, then you let the sun do the rest of the job, the sun kills him. So what emerges from our Gemara is that, and again, remember we said yesterday, we want to focus not on necessarily what the halacha is in various cases of grama, but just what the definition of grama is. So what emerges from our Gemara is that the definition of grama when it comes to Ritzicha seems to be that if you put a person in a situation where that which kills him is not yet present, then it's grama. Even though you know it's going to be present, it's going to come and it's going to kill him, but it's not yet there, that which kills him is not yet there, that's grama. But if you put a person in a situation where that which kills him is already present, even though it's not yet killing him, he's not yet dead, but it's already starting to have an effect on him, it's already there, it's already starting to work, for instance, tying someone down in the sun, and the sun is ultimately going to kill him, it's going to take a long time for the sun to kill him, but the sun is ultimately going to kill him, so that which kills him is already present, that's not called grama, that's considered a direct act, that's considered direct killing. So we read yesterday a Gemara, given that definition now, right? You take that grama is it's not grama when you introduce the person to that which will kill him, even though it will take a long time. That's not grama, that's direct. You put him in a situation where that which will kill him starts to have an effect, that's considered direct, that's not considered grama. Now, this is troubling for a number of reasons. There is a Gemara Masechah Shabbos where the Gemara discusses a guy who has the Shem Hashem written on his skin. So the Gemara has a machlokas, quotes a brisa, machlokas. Is he allowed to go into the mikvah with the Shem Hashem written on his skin? The Gemara says, okay, he shouldn't bathe, just stop. But he needs to go to the mikvah, tvila shel mitzvah. Can he do a tvila shel mitzvah with the Shem Hashem written on his skin? So the Rabbanans say he has to cover it. He's got to cover the Shem Hashem. Korech aleha gemi, and then he can go into the mikvah. Cover it with some type of bandage so that the water will not affect the Shem Hashem. Then you go into the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, go into the mikvah, it's fine. Just don't rub it. Don't, if the Shem Hashem is on your arm, don't go like this to scrape it off your arm. But you can go into the mikvah, and the water will have whatever effect it has, but that's not you doing it. That's fine. Yeah? Ah, so good. We'll get to that in a second. What? Mm-hmm. We'll get to how the Gemara ends. I don't think we discussed yesterday.
You just cover him because you can't.
Yeah, but it would still be chatzitza. The rule of chatzitza is in general that whenever you have something that's covering the majority of your body and your makbid that you don't always want it there, that's a chatzitza midoraisa. So that very rarely happens. Something that covers the majority of your body and you don't always want it there. Like if you go to the mikvah in full scuba gear, that would be chatzitza mida oraisa. Chatzitza mida rabbanan is something that covers a minority of your body, but you don't always want it there. You may even want it there right now, but you don't always want it there. Or something that covers the majority of your body, but you do always want it there. Those are the two examples of chatzitza mida rabbanan. Even though it's only midrabanan, if you have either of those forms of chatzitza, the tevila will not be good. It does not count. You have to go to the mikvah again with a bracha. The tevila is an invalid tevila. Now, if you have something that covers only the minority of your body, and you do always want it there, it's called eno makbid, it's miyucha eno makbid, then it's not a chatzitza at all. We're knowing that we remove everything before we go to the mikvah. For a woman to go to the mikvah, she removes every little speck of everything from her body. That's an extra chumra that we have, that we do l'chadchila. But p'diavad would not be ma'akev, the tevila. So this gemi that you put over the Shem Hashem, what type of chatzitza is it? Does it cover the majority of the body? No, it does not cover the majority of the body. Why not? Because unless you wrote the Shem Hashem across your whole body, but assuming like you wrote the Shem Hashem in your hand, so you put the piece of gemi on your hand, it doesn't cover the majority of the body. Is it something you always want there, this piece of gemi, this bandage? No, certainly not. So that would be chatzitza midrabanan. It would be a real legitimate problematic chatzitza. It's hard to come out. Most chatzitzas midrabanan are like that, are things that cover the minority of your body, but you don't always want there, something that you're makpid about. That's 99% of the cases of chatzitza are those kinds of cases. I never ever had a case of something that covers the majority of your body that you're not makpid about, that you always want there. I can't imagine such a case that covers the majority of your body but you always want it there. I once thought that I almost had such a case and I was all excited about it. A woman asked about a spray-on tan that she goes to the nail salon, or I don't know where they do these things, but whatever, one of these places that women go, and she comes out with a tan that they spray on her. It was her kid's bar mitzvah or something, and she wanted to look nice for the bar mitzvah, for the pictures, so she got the spray-on tan, and she had to go to the mikveh the following night. So she wanted to know, is that going to be a chatzitza? So I was so excited. I was like, oh, this is going to be the chatzitza that covers the majority of your body, but you dafka always want it there because it makes you look better, right? So I was all pumped up about it. But then I did some research on this particular form of tanning, and the way it turns out is that it actually becomes part of your skin. It's not like something over your skin that like you could rub off. In fact, right afterwards, you're supposed to take a shower, and then whatever is not, you know, in your skin washes right off, and the rest actually just becomes part of your skin. How does it fall off then if it becomes part of your skin? How come it doesn't last forever? Because your skin doesn't last forever. You don't realize it, but we're constantly shedding skin. So when the outermost layer of skin sheds, that's when you lose the tan. So I was that close to having a chatzitza that covers the majority of the body that a person's not makbid about, a rubo shein makbid, but it never really happens. But the gemi case seems to be a miut hamakbid, so it does seem to be a chatzitza. We'll see the Gemara discusses. Yeah.
I don't know how tattoos would be considered, but I may not allow to get a tattoo, but if you were...
A tattoo is not a chatzitza because it's beneath the surface of the skin. It's usher to get a tattoo midaraisa, but it's a different issue. It's not an issue of a chatzitza for tevila. The issue with tevila, let's say there are a lot of, it's become in vogue apparently in certain circles to get tattoos with the Shem Hashem on it. So that could be a problem, because the Gemara here discusses that you're not allowed to be naked in front of the Shem Hashem. So that's going to be a tevila problem, not a chatzitza problem. And that's, in fact, the issue. Let's see the end of this Gemara. That ties right into this Gemara. The other issue with chatzitza and tattoos, there's a Minchas Yitzchak that has a tshuva about a guy who was a Baal tshuva who had a big tattoo on his arm of a scantily clad woman, and right in his makom tefillin. And he, every morning when he was putting on tefillin, you know, he wanted to know if could he make the bracha in front of this this picture of this inappropriate picture. So the Minchas Yitzchak suggested putting like a piece of leather around his arm that won't be chatzitza because it's the same min as the tefillin. So min b'mino eino chotzeitz, right? So to cover up that tattoo until he has the guts to get it removed, if he's willing to go through the pain of having it removed. That's if you speak to dermatologists, they deal with this all the time with people who are becoming Baalei Tshuva and they go to the mikveh or whatever and they're embarrassed by their tattoos. Dr. Abitan told me he once had a patient who came with a beard and face and everything, and he asked for a tattoo to get removed, and it was going to be multiple treatments. And he treated him the first time, and as the guy is looking at it, the guy, his chassid, goes, "It is kind of cool, isn't it?" And he never came back for a second treatment. So I guess the guy really thought it was cool. let's see how this plays out in the Gemara. So the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav has this machlokas Rabbanan Rabbi Yossi, where the Rabbanan say that you have to wrap something around it. Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to wrap something around the Shem Hashem, just go into the mikvah, just don't rub it off. So the Gemara says that it happens to be by Mechikas Hashem, it's a gzeres hakasav that by Mechikas Hashem, it's only an iser if you do it b'maisa. But if it's a gram mechika, if you do it indirectly, it's mutter. So that's the klal, the Gemara says. Because where do we learn mechikas Hashem from? Pasuk says, "V'ibadtem Hashemah min ha'makom ahu lo sasim kein Hashem elokeichem." You should destroy the names of the avodah zarahs from Eretz Yisrael. But lo sasim kein Hashem elokeichem. Don't do that to Hashem. That's what where it teaches us. We should destroy the names of avodah zarah. But we dafke have an iser. Don't destroy the shemus of Hashem. But what was the lashon of the pasuk? Lo sa'asun. What's asur to do? To do a maisa of mechikas Hashem. But if it's only a grama in Mechikas Hashem, then it's going to be heter gomer, it's going to be permissible. Says the Gemara, you know what? By Hilchas Shabbos also, grama is permissible. Gemara makes a parallel between Mechikas Hashem and Hilchas Shabbos. Says, lo sa'aseh kol malacha. Lo sa'aseh, don't do. Maisa in Hilchas Shabbos is aser. Grama in Hilchas Shabbos is mutter, just like by Mechika. So says Gemara, but wait a second. This gemi is a chatzitza. So we don't understand. The Gemara source number one, on the bottom of page one, the second to last line. Vitizbra, hai gemi, hei chidami. What's the story with this piece of something, this bandage that you put over the Shem Hashem? Eid mahadek, if you put it over really well, you attach it really close to the skin, then kavi chatzitza. It's not going to let the water in, and it's going to be a chatzitza problem. Ilo mahadek, aili beimaya. And if you don't attach it really well, then what's going to happen? Water's going to get in. And then what's the point of having it? Because water's going to get in and erase the Shem Hashem anyway. So why would the Rabbanan tell you to put that bandage there? Because you don't want to erase the Shem Hashem. If you don't put the bandage tight, it's going to erase the Shem Hashem. If you do put the bandage tight, it's not a tevila. So manavshuch, you messed up. So says Gemara, chatzitza, wait, why are you worried about chatzitza? Tepkele mishum dio. Forget about the bandage being chatzitza. You know what's chatzitza? The ink with which you wrote the Shem Hashem is chatzitza. Getting back to your issue, that's different than a tattoo. Tattoo is under the skin. We're talking about ink that's on the surface of the skin. The ink is a chatzitza, so forget about the bandage. Yeah, anyway, I have a chatzitza. Mar says, no, the ink maybe is wet. And when it's wet, it's not a chatzitza. Why is wet ink not a chatzitza? What? Min b'mina, right. It's considered like part of the water. It connects with the water, and therefore it's considered to be part of the water. It's batel to the water, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. And the Gemara even quotes a brisa. Dam, dio, dvash, chalav. All these liquids, when they're dry, they're a chatzitza. When they're wet, they're not a chatzitza. So the ink's not a chatzitza, but mikol makom kasha, the Gemara says on the top of page 2 over here, mikol makom kasha, but the problem is still the same. The gemi, the bandage, what's the story? If it's tight on tight, it's a chatzitza, and if it's not tight, it's going to allow the name to be erased anyway. Ela amar rava barav shila, hainu tamayad rabbanan de kasavri, osru lamud b'fnei Hashem arum. Unbelievable, says the Gemara. Both Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi agree that we're not worried about erasing the Shem Hashem over here. It's not a problem. All you're doing is a grama, mechikas Hashem. It's grama. You're indirectly causing the erasing of Hashem's name. How are you indirectly causing the erasing of Hashem's name? You're going in the mikvah. You're not rubbing it. You're just going in the mikvah. And the water slowly makes the shame deteriorate. But you're not. That's only gram. And gram mechika is mutter, we said. What's the whole reason the Rabbanan say you need to cover it with a bandage? Nothing to do with erasing. They think you need to cover it with a bandage because you're not allowed to be naked in front of the Shem Hashem. So you got to cover it with a bandage before you go to the mikvah. Does the bandage have to be tight? No. It doesn't have to be tight. If it were tight, it would be a chatzitza. So what is it? It's loose. As long as it's not visible, as long as Shem Hashem is not visible while you're undressed, it's fine. Water's going to get in? That's fine. The Rabbanan aren't worried about that. It's only gram mechika. So what emerges from this Gemara in Shabbos? That gram mechika is mutter, but again, we're not so focused on the halacha, we're more focused on the definition of gram, the definition of grama. What is the definition of grama, of indirect mechika? The water is the thing that's going to do the erasing. The Shem Hashem is going to be what is erased. You put the Shem Hashem in the water. You did the maisa of introducing the Shem Hashem to the water, and then the water goes and does the whole erasing. And the Gemara calls that grama. What's the parallel by a case of murder? What's going to kill the guy? The sun, right? If you put the guy in the sun and let the sun do its thing, is that direct or indirect? Our Gemara said explicitly that's direct. You're chayiv. It's only indirect if you tied him up before the sun was there. You tie him up and the sun is out already, you're introducing him to that which is going to kill him over the course of an extended period of time. That's direct killing. Yet by mechika, we call that grama. You introduce the Shem Hashem to the water, and the water slowly affects him. It's grama. This is a kasha. This is a major problem. How do we define grama? It's a stira between Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin and Shabbos Tav Kuf Chav. To add to the problems a little bit, you had a question? As a separation, what do you mean?
Between like you and like between like the bodies.
When you first get undressed, before you go in.
So you're saying you take it off before you get into the water? You take it off as you go into the water.
The water only counts as a separation. Let me be more clear about this. Water only counts as a separation between the part of your body that's out of the water and the part of your body that's under the water. But when your whole body's under the water, it's still considered to be in front of the Shem Hashem. Another Gemara, source number two, Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. You probably know this Gemara, or at least parts of it. Chamesh Esrei Milos. David HaMelech composed Tehillim, and in Tehillim he composed 15 Shir HaMalos. Very nice. Amar Rav Chisda Lumi D'Rabbanan, Havi Kamasad Ragad D'Kamei. Rav Chisda said to one of the Rabbanan who was preparing Agadah to Gemaras for him, and he said, Amar Lei, Shemi Alach Hani Chamesh Esrei Milos Kenegin Mi Amram David. Why 15? Everything is there's a reason for everything. Why 15 Shir HaMalos? Why Dafka that number? Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So said Rabbi Yochanan. B'sha'a shakara David shisin, when David was digging the shisin, you know what the shisin are? Shisin? You know? What? I can't hear you. But these are particularly the two holes by the Mizbeach that went all the way down to the core of the earth. So David HaMelech laid all the groundwork for the Beis HaMikdash to be built. He didn't get to do the Makkah B'Patish to actually do the final construction that he left for Shlomo. He wanted to, but he was turned down. The Navi first told him yes, and then said, Hashem said no. So he wasn't allowed to, but he did all the... When we on Sukkot, when we add our Harachaman into the benching, what do we say? Harachaman Yakim Lanu? Sukkot David Hanofelas. And what are we referring to? What's the Sukkot David Hanofelas? The fallen Sukkot of King David? It's the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't matter. David HaMelech is given a lot of credit for the Beis HaMikdash because he did a lot of the preparatory work. So David HaMelech was digging the Shisin, these two holes that apparently went all the way down to the core of the earth, and he drilled so deep, Kafa Tahomu Bayu L'Mishtafa Alma, that the waters from the depths started rising and threatening to flood out the entire world. So Amar David, Chamesh Asrei Malos V'aritan. So David said 15 Shir HaMalos, and that knocked them all down, and that saved the world. So next time you think of a quick Shir HaMalos after davening, it's 1/15 of saving humanity, saving the entire world. Not so bad, right? So he said the 15 Shir HaMalos. That's not the Maskana of the Gemara, but we'll see. Okay, so he said the Shir HaMalos, and he knocked him down. So frek the Gemara, Ihachi, if you wanted to say a shir has something, when something was going up and you needed to make it go down, it needed to go down very quickly, would you go with shir hamalos? You might want to go with shir hayardos. No, it's going in the wrong direction. So the Gemara asks, chamesh esrei malos yardos mi bayalei. If the water was coming up and he wanted it to go down, he should have said 15 shir hayardos. So Amalei says, no, we got the story a little wrong. Here's how it went. Holvat karta and hach idmar. Once you got me going, you reminded me this is how the story really went. You know, I knew it had something to do with the shisin, but you're right. That's a good kasha. This is how it really went. B'shah shakar David shisin, kafa tohom abal mishtva alma. David HaMelech was digging the shisin, and the tohom threatened to flood the entire world. Amar David. Mi'ika diyada yishari l'michtav shem achas v'nishtu b'tohom amalach. Does anyone know halach kshayla, halach lemaisa? Can I write down the Shem Hashem on a shard of pottery, throw it in there, and that will cause it to die down? I don't know how he knew that that would work, but he knew that that would work. That writing the Shem Hashem, oldest trick in the book, take the Shem Hashem, put it on the chaspa, that causes the waters to go down. So leka dekamer lemidi. So no one responded. I mean, David HaMelech is asking a shayla lemaisa. Would you respond? He's David HaMelech. He's a pretty big talmud chacham, right? He's saying, if he doesn't know, who am I to know? I wouldn't question him. But David HaMelech is also the king, so he was able to threaten. So Amar David, kol diyadal meim raveinu omer yichanek begrono. If you know the answer and you're not telling me the answer, you should choke to death. So that got people thinking. So Nasa Achitofel Kalvachomer Biatzmo. So Achitofel thought of the following Kalvachomer. It's Kalvachomer Biatzmo, right? When you think of a Kalvachomer, it's always your own. Kavuchomer is not something you need a tradition. You don't need a Masorah. You don't need, if it was a Masorah, then somebody would have just, Mi'ika deshmi'ale, he would have said, right? But he wants to know, logic. Can anyone come up with a logic why it would be mutter to write the Shem Hashem? So Achitofel, the following Kavuchomer. Umal, laso shalom, benish lishto omer torosh, mishnichtam b'kdusha yimach alamayim, laso shalom, kolom kulo alachas kama v'kama. If to make peace between one man and one woman, a man and his wife, you're allowed to write the Shem Hashem out and have it erased in water by the sota, so too kal v'chomer, when it's to make shalom in the entire world, to save all of humanity, that you should be able to write the Shem Hashem on a chaspa, throw it into the tahom and let it get erased. So Amar Lei, Achitofel thought that to himself, and then he said to David, Shari, it's mutter, I have a cheshbon why it's mutter. Kasav Shema Chaspa v'shadi l'tahoma. They wrote it, they threw it, right? V'nachas tahoma shitzar alfi garmidi. And the water went flying back in the other direction, 16,000 garmidi underground. Kichazu d'nachas tuva, merkama d'midli tvei, mir tavalma. But then David said, well, wait a second, this is not so good. It's too far down underground. We don't have enough moisture in the ground to be able to grow anything, to be able to dig boros. It's going to be bad if it's that far underground. We need the water a little higher. So Amar chamesh esrei ma'alos. So that's where he said the 15, shir hama'alos, to bring up the water 15 levels. So we went down 16 levels. He wanted to bring it back up 15 levels, and that's how order was restored in the world. Good, fine. What's going on? Why am I quoting this Gemara? David HaMelech has a shayla alecha l'maisa. He's going to take a Shem Hashem. He's going to throw it in water. The water is going to erase it. We learned in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf in the last source, gram mechika is mutter. Gram mechika is defined in Masechta Shabbos as taking the Shem Hashem that's on your body and putting it in water. Going into water with the Shem Hashem. That's gram mechika, and it's 100% mutter. So David HaMelech has this shayla. What can I do? Can I take a chaspa, throw it into the water? That's gram mechika. Of course you can. What kind of shayla? Achitofel needs a kal v'chomer. Since it's to save humanity, it's okay. Oh, forget about saving humanity. It's okay. It's gram mechika. It's by definition, it's mutter. There's no issue. No, very strange. A direct stira between the two Gemaras. They're both the same. You're taking Shem Hashem, you're putting it in water, and the water is doing the erasing. It's only gram mechika. So that's kasha number two. Yeah. Yeah. Gram doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Gram means it is going to happen, but it's not a maisa that you're doing that's making it happen. It's something it's a system you're setting up that's going to make it happen. It's like a Shabbos clock, let's say. Right? You're setting something up where it's going to happen on its own later. But you're not doing the actual maisa. Shabbos clock may be a bad example depending on how you define grama. If grama is purely just a time delay, then a Shabbos clock is a good example. But there are many that held the grama has to be something beyond just a time delay. The next sugya we do probably will focus on grama, you know, on the broader picture of grama. But I just want to discuss grama chika and how it relates to our Gemara. Right? The our Gemara defines putting the guy in the sun that's going to kill him as direct killing. The Gemara in Shabbos calls putting the Shem Hashem in the water that's going to erase it only gram. That's a kasha. It's a stira. And then even within the world of Mechika, the Gemara in Sukkah assumes that putting the Shem Hashem into water is more than just a grab. That it's a real mice of Mechika. Right? Those are our problems. Yeah.
Well, I think similar to Rasa, there's a clear difference between going into the Mikvah for yourself. I'm saying it's for you to get Tamar. And then whatever happens, though, I'm saying then the Shem Hashem will just go away. This is like you're dafka taking the Shem Hashem and you're throwing the Shem Hashem with nothing else.
So you're saying when you throw the Shem Hashem in, that's more direct because that's what you're trying to do.
And that's the only thing you're doing also.
So it's a davar miskaven. You're having kavan to do it. Whereas when you're going into the mikvah, it's a davar shem miskaven to erase the Shem Hashem.
Not necessarily because
Well, no, it's wet. Wet ink. The ink is wet. So, meaning, so you're redefining grama a little bit, and you're saying the definition of grama has to, is a combination of lack of action and lack of intent. If you're trying to do something, even though you're not actively, directly doing it, but that's your goal, that's your whole thing, you flip the kosher switch because you want the light to turn on, not because you just like playing with the switch, even though it's a gram and it's only indirectly out, but that's what you're doing, it's what you're trying to do. So then that can't be called grama. Excellent thought, we'll come back to it. Here's where we're going to run into problems though, the next Gemara. Gemara in Megillah daf Chavav and Beis. Gemara tells us, source number 3, Vamarava, Sefer Torah Shabbala, say you have a worn out Sefer Torah. So what do you need to do with the worn out Sefer Torah? You put it in Sheamus, right? So you bury it. Where do you bury it? You're allowed to bury it next to a Talmud Chacham, even if he's a substantial Talmud Chacham. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, ubikli cheres. But when you bury it, you need to bury it only inside a kli cheres. Why? Shenemar satim kli cheres leman yamdu yamim rabim. Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, put stuff in a kli cheres in order to make it last for a long time. Leman yamdu yamim rabim. Basically, what are we saying? You have the Sefer Torah. It's worn out. It's got to be put in Sheamus, but it still has a lot of Sheamus Hashem in it. And you're not allowed to erase the Sheamus Hashem. So you can't just bury it in the ground. Why? Because if you just bury it in the ground, what's going to happen? Sheamus Hashem is going to become erased from the ground, from the moisture of the ground. So you have to put it inside a kli and bury the kli in the ground. That way, the moisture from the ground is not going to affect the Sefer Torah. Gemara clearly assumes when you bury a Sefer Torah, you're introducing the words of Shem Hashem to the dirt and moisture that's going to ultimately erase it over time, that's called a problem of mechika. And that's why you can't do it. You have to wrap it in a kli cheres first. You can't just put it in the ground. Aye, but didn't the Gemara in Shabbos say, when you put yourself with the Shem Hashem on it, on yourself, in a mikvah, that it's only gram mechika, and therefore it's mutter? Why does the Gemara have a problem over here? This makes it sound like it's real mechika, that it's aser. It's the same thing, no? Introducing your skin with the Shem Hashem to the water and then just leaving it there is the same as introducing this Sefer Torah Shabbala to the dirt and then just leaving it there. So which is it? Is it gram or is it not? And this ruins Evan's answer also. Right? Because Evan's answer was, I'm going to see if we could revitalize it, but Evan's answer was that the difference between what David was doing with the throwing the Shem Hashem on the chaspa and putting yourself in the mikvah is that when you put yourself in the mikvah, you have absolutely zero intention of erasing the Shem Hashem. It's just something that happens. Whereas David was trying to erase the Shem Hashem. And that's why, since he was trying to erase the Shem Hashem, that's why it's not just a grama. Well, over here, the Gemara says it's not just a grama. Over here, Megillah, it's not just a grama. Are you trying to erase the Shem Hashem when you bury it in the ground? Absolutely not. You're just trying to make sure the Sefer Torah is treated respectfully. You're not trying to erase the Shem Hashem. Tashmi Shekedusha, Nikbarim, doing the mitzvah of Kavura. You have no havamin of erasing the Shem Hashem. And yet, it's still called a Maisa. So we got problems here. Right? We have problems in terms of the definition of grama. So, I didn't come up with all these Gemaras on my own. Yeah? The Gemara is saying, what I'm talking about is if you don't bury it in pottery, the Gemara considers that direct mechikas Hashem. You have to bury it in pottery to avoid direct mechikas Hashem, but if you don't bury it in pottery, you just bury it straight, so you are introducing it directly to the dirt, that is direct mechikas Hashem. Which fits with the Gemara in Sanhedrin very nicely, right? That you introduce the guy to the sun and you leave him in the sun. That's direct Ritzicha, but it doesn't fit so well with the Gemara in Shabbos Kufchaf. Because Shabbos Kufchaf, you introduce your skin, which has the Shem Hashem, to the water, and you let it get erased. That's not Mechika, that's just Gram Mechika. So what is going on? So I saw a Sefer that I never saw before, I never used before, Sanhedrin Katana. I don't know who it is. Anyone know who it is? Sanhedrin Ketana. It's in one of the Yotzim Mepharshim, the Achronim Yotzim Mepharshim. I didn't even know where to find it. Chaim Levtov my 11th grade, the cute Sephardi guy. You know who he is? Chaim Liftov, sweetheart of a guy. So he found the Sanhedrin Katana for me. Sanhedrin Katana says like this. First, he asks the Kasha from Shabbos Tav Kuf Chaf, how are we defining Grama? In our Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin, it seems that we're defining Grama as introducing someone to that which will kill him over time is not Grama, it's direct. And Shabbos Kuf Chaf, by going into the mikvah, it sounds that that's Grama. Second of all, the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah Nun Gimel contradicts the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chaf, because the Gemara in Sukkah Nun Gimel assumes that it's not Grama to throw the Shem Hashem into the water, that it's direct to throw the Shem Hashem into the water. Furthermore, he says, and this is where it gets really good, how do you do the Malacha of Bishul on Shabbos or Afia on Shabbos? What do you do? How's it done? Not a trick question. What do you do? What's the malach of Ofe? You take what?
Meat.
Right, meat, or let's say Ofe instead of Bishul, raw dough, and you put it where? In an oven. Then what? Then what do? You walk away. That's right. You walk away when the dough is still raw. And what happens to that dough? Miraculously, you come back a little while later, and it's baked, right? According to the Gemara in Shabbos, that introducing the item to that which will affect it, and then letting the effect happen, is only Grama. Introducing the Shem Hashem to the water that's going to affect it, and then allowing that effect to happen, allowing the water to erase it. I'm not erasing it, I'm allowing the water to erase it. That's only Grama. How can one ever violate the malacha of baking on Shabbos? You're going to go to the oven. You're going to introduce this raw dough to the fire. Nothing happens when you put it on the fire. You walk away, and the fire on its own is going to bake it. Isn't that exactly what the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chaf describes as Grama? And to make it even worse, the Gemara in Shabbos specifically relates Mechikas Hashem to Melechus Shabbos. The Gemara specifically says, just like by Mechikas Hashem, Vibatem is, whatever it is, Losasim Kein Lashem Elokechem, Vibatem is Shemam, you should destroy the Shemos of Avodah Zarah, Losasim Kein Lashem Elokechem, there should be no Asiya to Hashem, but Grama is okay. So to by Melechus Shabbos, Kol Melecha Losasu. It's Asiya that's a problem. Grama and Shabbos, Mutter. If the definition of Grama is introducing that which is affected to that which will affect it, and then letting it happen on its own, walking away and letting it happen, or sitting still and letting it happen, isn't every afia on Shabbos a Grama? It's a bomb kasha. So, says Sanhedrin Ketana, I know what you're going to want to answer me. You're going to want to say, no, the definition, you can say lumpus. The malacha of Shabbos is not to bake the bread. The malacha is to put the bread in an oven that can bake it. Here? To put the dough in an oven that can bake it. I do that. And I said, that's my malacha Shabbos M'chayv Skila right then and there. The fact that it will bake it later is just a Megala Milsa that I put it in an oven that was able to bake it. But it doesn't have to actually bake. Putting it there, that's enough to be a violation of the malacha. Maybe that's what you'll want to answer. And that's why it's not a grama. He says that is sheker v'chazav. That's not true. I can prove to you clearly it's not true. What would happen if you put something in the oven and then you pull it out? You say, oh my God, it's Shabbos, and you pull it out. Are you chayv v'chatas? Or if you did it b'mezin, you pull it out. Are you chayv skila? You did it b'mezin, and then you decide, nah, I'm going to be a bal tshuva, and you pull it out. Are you chayv skila? Oh, good. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Tavdala, discusses this exact issue, and the Gemara in Shabbos discusses in the context of the Issur Derabanan of Rediyas HaPas. That there is an Issur Derabanan only, of taking the bread off of the oven. It was a complicated matter. The way they would make bread in an oven is not like with, you know, loaf tins and whatever. They had this cylinder-shaped thing where the fire was inside the cylinder and they would wrap the dough on the outside of the cylinder. So it wasn't so easy to break it off the oven, and therefore the Rabbanan made an Isser. This is Rabban called Rudias Pas. So the Gemara says, what if you put the bread on the... You put the dough on the oven on Shabbos. Can you do Rudias Pas to take the dough off? It would be an Issa Drabana to do Rudias Pas. But if you don't do Rudias Pas, what's going to happen? The bread's going to bake and you're going to be Chayiv Skima for being Mechal Shabbos. So then, of course, you're allowed to take it off. Better to violate the Issa Drabana rather than violate the Chayiv Skila, right? But wait a second. If the whole malacha is putting it on in a way where it can get baked, well, it's too late. You're already chayv skila. No, but what do you see from this Gemara? You're not chayv skila yet. The Isser is not putting it into a place where it can get baked. The Isser is baking it. And it's not usser, it's not a malacha unless it gets baked. It's not a malacha. So back to our kasha. The Gemara is a more interesting discussion there is, can someone else take it down? Right, would you say, if I see you put dough on the oven, should I take it down? Now, it's a rabbanan for me to take it down, but if I don't take it down, you're going to be chayv skila. So would you say, chatei kidei sheyiska chavircha? Sin so that someone else should benefit from your sin. We'll do less of an avera. That's the more interesting sugya. But for our purposes, what do we see? Why is it that you could ever violate the malacha of ofa on Shabbos? It should always be grama. You're introducing the dough to the fire that's going to cook it. That fire that's going to cook it will take some time and it's going to do it on its own. It's the same as introducing the Shem Hashem written on your skin to the water of the mikveh and then just standing in the mikveh and letting the water erase it. Which the Gemara specifically said is grama. So that's his bomb kasha. Good. Take a look on page 12 in the Sanhedrin Ketan. So to answer all these questions, he quotes a Rashba. And the Rashba, you read it at first, you think you got it. But then he says, there's a lot more than meets the eye here with this Rashba. Bottom left-hand side of page 12. Vihine. HaRashba b'chidush of the Shabbos Shom Kasa. The Rashba in Shabbos of their Daf Kuf Chav writes, D'mayri de'eino b'birur she'yimcha k'shiyitein yod alamayim. Now we're talking about a case where you're not certain that it's going to be erased when you put your hand in the water. You have the Shem Hashem written on your hand, you go into the mikvah. It may survive, you know, sometimes you get those stamps at, I don't know, amusement parks or whatever, and like the kids get those things at the, you know, arcades or whatever, and it's like for like 3 weeks it's on them. Like you can't get it off. Or those stupid fake tattoos. I hate those. You come back from birthday parties with those fake tattoos. Oh. Stay on forever. So the Rashba writes in Shabbos, they were told me, you're not so certain that going to the mikveh is going to take it off. And that's why what? That's why when you go into the mikveh, it's only grama. But if you're certain that it's going to come off, then it's not grama. Then it's direct. That would answer all of our kashas. Why? Let's go through the Gemaras. Sanhedrin, Ayin, Zayin. What do we say? Put him in the sun, and it's not grama, it's direct. Why? Must be talking about p'chia gavna, that you're certain that the sun's going to kill him. So it's not grama. David HaMelech throwing the chaspa was certain that it was going to be erased. So it's not grama. When you bury a Sefer Torah in the ground, over time, everything, you know, disintegrates. So you're certain it's going to be erased. So that's not grama. It's actually an interesting question. If it disintegrates before it erases, is that even mechika? Would you say if the iser were erasing, it's not so pashut that it would be erased. That would be called erasing if the whole thing disintegrates. But by what's the iser? Lo sasun ken l'Hashem Elokechem. Lo sasun what? V'ibaditem. Don't do v'ibaditem. Don't make it get destroyed. I mean, let's say on Shabbos you burn a book, so you violate a mavir. Fine, you violated a whole bunch of things. Did you violate erasing when you burn a book? So probably not, because erasing assumes the surface remains, and you're just erasing the letters off of the surface, right? So he didn't violate erasing. But when it comes to erasing Shem Hashem, it's not about erasing, right? It's not the erasing that's the yisur, it's the destroying that's the yisur. So when you bury the Sefer Torah in the ground without cheres around it, you know it's going to get destroyed, right? That you know for sure. So this would solve all the world's problems, right? It works every Gemara, I think. It works with every Gemara. Says the Sanhedrin Ketana, not happy. The case in Shabbos here, you don't know it's going to get erased, and that's why it's only grama. But if you knew, then it would be mochik mamish. No, because you've destroyed it. You've destroyed it. Destroying the Shem Hashem in any way is a problem. Davli mechab mamish lo gori. Probably what caused the Rashba to say this, because he had our kashas. You're not sure it's going to get erased, so it's only a grum. That answers all the kashas. David knew the shame was going to get erased. The bread you put on the oven, you know is going to get baked, unless you take it off. And therefore, it's not just grama, because you know that it's going to bake it. V'chein b'kafto b'chama umeis v'vadayam. Tie a guy in the sun, you know he's going to die. V'akar chavali maisa v'lo grama, and therefore all those things are maisa. However, he says, I'm not happy with this. Ach gam zet soruchi, and this also requires further analysis. Why? V'lfizeh l'amali krad l'osasim kein l'medak to grama shari. If that's the whole thing, that it's a suffix whether it's even going to be erased, why do I need a diuk to tell me, oh, since it's only grama, it's mutter? If I don't even know if it's going to be erased, forget about grama, there's another concept. What's the other concept? A safek, or what we would call a davar sheino miskaven. You're doing something that you don't know if it's going to have the desired outcome. Any safek, whether it's going to happen or not, is davar sheino miskaven. By psik reisha, it's going to be aser, but when it's not a psik reisha, you don't know, so it's just a davar sheino miskaven. So if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, the Davar Shein Miskavin is Mutter and called Torah Kula, so you don't need the fact that it's a Grama. Forget about it being Grama. Grama means that you know it's going to happen, but you're not doing it directly. That's Grama. If you don't know that it's going to happen, that's not Grama. That's Davar Shein Miskavin. It's a totally different concept than Grama. But the Gemara says the reason that it's Mutter to go into the mikvah is because it's Grama. Not because it's davar sheino miskaven. So the Rashba works in every Gemara except for the Gemara that he's explaining. Right? So Rashba on Shabbos, Kuf Chav. Works for all, it makes all the other Gemaras work, but his own Gemara doesn't work. Because that's not an issue of Grama. The Gemara says it's Grama that makes it mutter. What he's describing is davar sheino miskaven. It's davar sheino miskaven that makes it mutter. Alright, we're out of time. Tomorrow is Yom HaTzmut. Even though Rav Shachter holds we should celebrate on Friday instead of tomorrow, but Minhagei Yeshiva is we follow what the rest of the world does. So tomorrow is Yom HaTzmut. There is a Yom HaTzmut program that the high school is having at 10 o'clock for the sophomores and juniors. I do not recommend you go to that. You should be in the base manager at that time. At 11 o'clock for the seniors and freshmen, it's a video presentation and a little kumzitz and whatever. I would suggest and encourage we should celebrate Yom HaTzmut. It should be a celebration. It's a significant day, and I'd like to say shir on something Eretz Yisrael related. We'll do a hakdama that's Eretz Yisrael related tomorrow. So maybe we'll go to the celebration a little bit, and then we'll pack out a little bit early to have shir on, you know, Eretz Yisrael related inyanim. We should celebrate tomorrow properly. Okay.